Okay, so moving on to cash flows. François, you're going to tee up?
So we will move on to agenda paper six. The committee received a request asking about the types of borrowings an entity includes in its statement of cash flows as a component of cash and cash equivalent. In the fact pattern described in the request, the entity has short-term loans and credit facilities that have a short contractual notice period, for instance, 14 days. The submitter said this short-term arrangement forms an integral part of the entity's cash management. The balance of these short-term arrangements is almost always negative and doesn't often fluctuate from being negative to positive. We conducted outreach on this matter. Paragraph 12 to 17 summarize the findings from this outreach. Paragraph 18 to 31 set out our analysis of the requirement in paragraph 8 of IS 7. Paragraphs 32 and 33 set out how an entity applies the requirements to the fact pattern in the submission. On the basis of our analysis, we think an entity does not include the short-term arrangement described in the request as components of cash and cash equivalent. Rather, the entity would consider this short-term arrangement to be financing activities. Paragraph 46 outlines our conclusion. I would like now to pause here and ask whether you agree with our analysis of the requirements in IFRS standards summarized in paragraph 36 of our agenda paper.
Yes, I agree with staff's analysis. I think it's based on very good logic and it's helpful to understand what's required. I agree with analyzing that. That way, yeah.
Thank you. Martin?
Fully supportive to the paper. Specifically, if it's always negative, then it has a kind of financing component. If it is a kind of cash pooling and sometimes positive, sometimes negative, one has to do careful evaluation. One could end up into cash and cash equivalents, yeah. So therefore, I believe it reduces diversity if there is any in practice.
Bruce?
I'm supportive of the conclusion. I just was a little bit, I don't know if it's the right time to bring it up, but I just wanted to explore a bit as to whether we think this is teetering more on an interpretation than an agenda decision. But I agreed with the answer we got to.
Okay. Should we come back to
that? Yeah, I'll guess we can.
Yep. Tony?
Yeah, I agree with the staff's analysis. I agree with the conclusion. I just had a thought about the wording of the agenda decision, which is the reference to a strong indicator. I'm not quite sure what a strong indicator means.
Indicator or not?
And not a weak indicator.
It implies there might be a weak indicator, it implies there might be something that could rebut it. And I actually preferred the words in paragraph 33 of the staff paper, which is that if the balance is always negative, that indicates, because I think that's where the standard takes you. It really says, I think to Martin's point, if it is always negative, then that tells you it's a borrowing rather than part of cash and cash equivalents. I wondered if we might think about the words.
Thanks, Tony. Paul?
I'm also supportive of the staff analysis, but also concerned about some words. And those words are at the bottom of page 10 in C. It says, is consistently negative. And then at the top of page 11, saying it's almost always negative. I guess I'm a little bit different than Tony. I have a look at a different focus. I think it should often be positive. Because I think if it's, you know, it's not almost always negative, it's just slightly less than that. I still think I would think it's not meeting that characteristic. So I would prefer it to turn that around and say that that in this case, the fact that the balance does not often fluctuate to positive is a characteristic.
Distinguish from a funding point.
Yep.
Thank you. Bonnie?
I agree with the staff's conclusion.
Okay. Thank you. Reinhardt?
Agree that in the fact pattern that this would not be considered to be a cash equivalent, but I do, perhaps along the lines of what Bruce is saying, wonder if we're effectively doing more than just an agenda decision, if we're effectively interpreting what 8 says. As I say, I don't disagree with the conclusion that we get to, but it just seems to be more of an interpretation. And I do get troubled in the agenda decision, for example, on page 10, item number B. It seems to me we're going beyond what the question that was asked. Here we're talking about managing cash and cash equivalents for the purpose of meeting short-term cash commitments rather than for investment or other purposes. The question was whether the borrowings are financing versus part of cash equivalents. So it seems to go beyond the question that was asked. And again, that may cause an issue because in the sense that you may have short-term investments that meet the definition of a cash equivalent, but you don't actually ever use to fund operations because you consistently generate cash flows. And so positive cash flows in the future to fund your borrowings, et cetera. And so, as I say, I just worry that that might go beyond and have an unintended consequence.
Did we do that because it ties in with the standard, Katrina? Is that what you're whispering to me?
Yeah. So, Java, do you want to go ahead or Claire and address it?
No, I mean, for us, we think the intention of this paragraph is very much to limit it to bank overdrafts. And we don't think, at least in our view, we think it's intentionally. When we went back to when this wording was initially proposed, and there was the exposure draft had the wording, and comment letters came back suggesting that it be expanded into other bank borrowings as well. And the final amendment, final wording, we cannot see the final wording here. So in our view, it was very deliberate to limit it to bank overdraft. The other thing is cash and cash equivalents are generally assets. And I think if we're going to include some liabilities or other elements into cash and cash equivalent, then in our view, at least, that population is very deliberately limited. So we don't think we think expanding it to include other items goes beyond the words, and the wording is very intentionally worded the way it is.
So maybe I'll just add to that, because I know you pointed out, Reinhard, particularly sort of what's on page 10B, and that wording about cash management comes very directly from paragraph 7 of IS 7 that describes cash equivalents. So at least I think our thoughts in putting this together was the different pieces that we pick up, the fact that we say, you know, it must be on demand, that it's bank overdrafts, that it talks about, you know, fluctuating from, you know, negative to positive, any words about cash management, all of those are very deliberately and delicate for the points that you raise, lifted sort of directly from the words in IS7, particularly in paragraph 7 and paragraph 8. And as Javed said, almost as, you know, what you didn't read in the paper, but almost as a helpful touch point for us to feeding off those words, is we were able to go back and find some of the old historical files back when the ISC wrote those words, and based off sort of what some of that said, at least confirmed what the words in the standard seem to be directly saying to us.
Okay, that's useful. Bertrand.
I agree with the staff analysis and conclusion.
John?
Yeah, I agree with the staff analysis and conclusion. I think that paragraph 8 is clear that, because it actually, the second sentence, third sentence says, in these circumstances, bank overdrafts are a component of cash and cash equivalents, and the circumstances are repayable on demand and form an integral part of an entity's cash management. So those are the two circumstances that you have to have in order to form part of cash and cash equivalents. So I think the fluctuation from positive to negative is an attribute or an indicator. So, okay,
thank you. Andrew?
I also agree with the staff analysis and the conclusion that's reached. The only comment I had that was associated with that is that I looked at paragraph 36D and just wondered a little bit about an entity that might be trading quite happily and so have a balance which is positive and negative, so it's cash and cash equivalent, and then it starts making losses and starts drawing down and then ends up with something which is permanently negative. Now, this might imply, therefore, it would have to flick that across out of cash and cash equivalent into financing, which I think is a natural progression from that. And I think it's the same thing if you had something like a group with some kind of overall facility arrangement for its subsidiaries, which didn't qualify for offset, that if there were permanent negative balances in there, they'd be financing and not, so they'd need to be split out as well. So I think that flows from it, but I think it's the right answer in the context of the standard.
Reinhard, did you want to come in again, or have you got your card up from last time?
Oh, sorry, no.
So it sounds like on the first question, which is there agreement with the analysis? It sounded like there was agreement with the analysis. But obviously the next question is a very important one for the committee, which is whether you agree with the staff's recommendation not to add this matter to its standard setting agenda. And I've heard at least two people question a little bit whether that's appropriate or not. And it's an important question for the committee. Any other views on this, in particular, any that have the view that, you know, they're confident it doesn't need to, that we don't need to do standard setting, maybe to balance those who have raised the opposite view? Bonnie?
Sorry, can I just maybe ask those that think that it should be something other than an agenda decision a little, to expand a little bit more on why and what you think it should be?
I don't think the wording's there. I mean, I think what we're doing is we're taking the context of what's said in I7, and I think we, in my view, are interpreting, adding an additional interpretive guidance as to how we get to whether something is a cash or cash equivalent. So I just worry that there's a lot of stuff there that I would have included in the standard if we were going to amend the standard to give that additional guidance.
And do you think that's the case, Bruce, even though I think the staff have been quite careful in trying to basically extract most of the important words from the actual text in the standard?
As I said, I mean, I'm not unhappy with it, with the agenda decision as it's drafted, and not at all. My worry is that even though we're extracting it out, I still think we've gone a step above what I would like as a non-authoritative agenda decision versus we're actually issuing something here that, in my view, should be a much more authoritative in terms of what we're doing.
So do you think it should be an interpretation, or do you think
My view is this is more of an interpretation, because I don't think it's really an amendment to the standard. I think we're interpreting the words that are there.
Okay. Did you want to add anything, or you wanted to?
No, I just wanted to understand what the background was as to the different view.
Tony?
My sense is that John captured it. I think the words are there in paragraph 8 of the standard. They tell you in what circumstances part of cash and cash equivalents, and something that's got even a term of a couple of days is not repayable on demand, so it fails. So I think the words are there. I would be comfortable with finalising it as an agenda decision.
Jim?
I agree with the staff analysis and the decision. And I don't think it's that significant to grant it as an interpretation or a further explanation. And other than the couple of wording, the strong and others, I think we're fine. Just releasing this wording is clear enough.
Okay, thank you. Andrew?
Just to add my view, I'm fine with this as an agenda decision. I don't think it's getting into interpreting the words in what's quite an old standard anyway. So I'm quite comfortable with it going out as suggested.
Mary, did you want us?
Because, you know, like Bonnie, I was struggling a bit with the concern and want to make sure I understand it. Is it, and I'm trying to find a suspect in the words to finger. So looking, Bruce, I'm looking at you in the first instance because you're just most convenient. on page 10, under the committee observed that, applying paragraph 8, is it the sentence, an entity, however, includes a bank borrowing only in the particular circumstances? Is it that assertion that you're questioning whether it's just a recitation versus an interpretation?
That's exactly what it is. It's just getting me, as I said to you, I mean, I'm not unhappy that there's an agenda. To me, it's just that.
So maybe what you want to hear from other members of the committee is whether they view the comment about only in the particular circumstances as being a recitation of IS-7 or a conclusion that it should be limited only to those fact pattern. Okay.
Okay. Young Sue.
I just want to say I'm comfortable with the agenda decision and finalizing that agenda decision. I don't think we need any interpretations for this matter.
Okay. I think it's important we had a good, a thorough discussion on that, because it is a as important as the, you know, facts and circumstances type questions. It's a threshold question. Okay, so with that additional discussion, and I think we're going to lose the word strong.
Yeah. Or maybe lose the word strong.
Can I have a show of hands from the committee on who agrees that we don't need to add this to the standard setting agenda?
14.
Thanks.
Patrina, I do agree with Bob's comments to focus more on the positive rather than.
I meant to pick it up. So the strong is right, and I think the other thing we noted was that they often fluctuate maybe to a positive balance or against.
All right. And so any other comments on the wording before we take a break?